When we talk about salvation and being saved, we often use the words eternal life. I wonder if we take time to, or have taken time, to define that word eternal. What does it mean when it says that Jesus gives us eternal life? For most of us, the word eternal life, the word eternal and eternal life means the life that never ends. If you study the Bible, you will soon discover that it means more than the life that never ends. When Jesus gives us eternal life, you've got to put together all the verses that speak of life. In John chapter 6, for instance, Jesus said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have life." The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus often spoke about giving us life. Eternal life is not only the life that never ends, it is God's life. You got to go back to the Garden of Eden when God, out of the dust of the earth, I hope you have pondered on that, that for everything else that God created, He just said the word. When He created man and woman, He used His hands to create man and then to create woman. He shaped them with His hands. He didn't just say, "Let there be man," or "Let there be woman." He, for man, took the earth and formed a man. And how did that man get life? God breathed into that earthen piece of clay His very life. And when you get that life which never ends, it is God's life, God's very eternal life that He gives to us. I hope you relate that with being born again into the family of God, and we become children of God. But then turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 17. And may I remind you that there is no Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 or Luke, where Jesus said, when you pray, "Pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That is not the Lord's Prayer. That is only how we should pray, a model for prayer. The Lord's Prayer is really John chapter 17. This is the prayer Jesus made to His Father. And tucked away right at the beginning of His prayer to the Father, in John chapter 17 verse 3, Jesus defines eternal life. And He says, "This is eternal life." What is eternal life? "This is eternal life, that they may know Him." The question I began asking last week is, do you know Him? To know God is to have a relationship with God. A very, very close relationship The uniqueness of the Christian faith is this, that deity is not a power or an influence or some abstract thought or myth. Doesn't even exist. Our Prime Minister is celebrating the 1,000 years of the Somnath Temple in the last 2 days. That has been destroyed again and again since 1026. What was surprising to me was that again and again they kept using the word mythology when they were referring to their deities. And I thought, they believe it is mythical? And they admit it, and yet there is so much focus on holding on to something that doesn't really exist. By their own admission, I hope you know that Islam says Allah is so almighty. Oh yes, He is gracious. But the concept of love doesn't exist in Allah. In all His 99 names, the uniqueness of the Christian faith is this, that God is person. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, person. And He created man in His image, in His likeness. To be a person, you have to have three things, and all three must exist in making you a person. God has mind to think, emotions to feel, and a will to make decisions. And He created man and woman with minds to think, wills to make decisions, and emotions to feel. And only those who have minds, wills, and emotions can have relationship. Animals don't have all three. Trees don't have all three. The earth, even if you call the earth mother, cannot have a relationship with you, because mud doesn't have mind, emotions, and will. Neither do the flowers or your pet dog or little cat. And God saved you to know Him. The question is, do you know a lot of doctrine, a lot of Bible verses, but you don't know God? Do you know God? This is eternal life, that you may know Him in a personal relationship. And therefore, when Jesus was asked the question, He answered it by saying, this is the first commandment, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your strength, your totality of personhood. The Christian faith and being a disciple of Jesus Christ and saying, I am a born again believer, disciple, saved person. I am regenerated. Is primarily and basically and most importantly having a relationship with the living God. That's why we even use the word, the adjective, living God. Living God. Do you have a living faith? In a living God, in a living relationship that has transformed your mind, a life. So that in all the situations of life, you face every day being able to say, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me, I am his own. Do you have a lovely time in the garden alone with the living God? It was encouraging to get feedback over last Sunday's sermon. Interestingly, I was able to cover only the introduction. And so as we get into the substance of the message I began last Sunday, I hope it will be as impactful for those who have ears to hear as was the introduction. So we move on to get the introduction to this message. You have to listen to the tape, to the online recording. But we move on to now look at what the Bible teaches us about seeking seeking and expecting to relish Jesus. The Bible gives us plenty of exhortations as well as encouragement. I hope you realize the word encouragement is not holding hands and being, just cushioning each other and cuddling and making one another feel good. It is strengthening. It is energizing. So the Bible energizes us to both seek and expect to enjoy our Lord Jesus. Through his death and resurrection, we have forgiveness of all our sins and the gift of being adopted as his children. So we are exhorted to seek God. It is amazing that in the very opening prologue to his long, lengthy Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, right there, Jesus in chapter 5 verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be satisfied. Is that categorical affirmation? For sure. So what should your life be all about? Why are you running around here and there and so busy, 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 busy? What are you busy about? For goodness sake. When you wake up in the morning, reach out to what? Oh, where's that cell phone? Any more texts since last night? You know what you're doing with your life? You are just losing your hunger for God by that stupid action, thoughtless action, every day before you go to bed and as soon as you wake up, looking for WhatsApp. It's really short for WhatsApp. The world's a mess. Are you seeking Jesus as you go to bed? And are you seeking Him when you wake up? Do it. And if you're not doing it, you're not being a good disciple of Jesus. You're following yourself, really. And you're being pretty stupid for losing out. You're not ending the day with Jesus and you're not starting the day with Jesus. How stupid can I be? Should be the thought. As we seek to know Him, we are blessed to the point of what? You will be fully satisfied. Are you? As you start the day and as you go to bed, bring all that mess or whatever else. If there's lots of joy, bring it all and hand it over to Him and go to sleep. Cushioning on His love. Sweet dreams of Jesus. You'll be filled with righteousness if you really know Him and have a relationship with Jesus. And every day, you will wake up much more fresh, I tell you, and energized to face the day and to be able to serve others instead of your own grumpy. Look at the mirror. I just woke up. Hey, you can jump out of bed full of beans. How do you wake up? How do you go to sleep? Moses warned Israel that if they forsook God, they would be scattered across the face of the earth. He said that actually many times, but there is a text in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Very interesting text. He says, when you forsake God, He will punish you, discipline you, cast you all across the nations of the earth. But you know what's going to happen even there? Because you're His chosen people. Turn to chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. Verse 29. But, does it start with but? But, from there, when I'm punishing you because you were stupid enough to forsake me and I scattered you, but there you will do what? Seek the Lord your God. And you will find Him. When? If you search after Him with all your heart and with all your soul. You know something, brothers and sisters, eyeball to eyeball, I can tell you this, you are half-hearted in your seeking. You've got too many distractions, all of you. I meet with you, I know you, some of you for decades. You are sincere. You are seeking, but there are so many issues in your life that you just don't get rid of. What does it say? Seek Him with? There's that three-letter word, right? A-L-L. Examine your heart. Is it really all your heart and all your mind? You know, one thing that will be outstanding proof of you are really seeking with all your heart and all your mind, you won't worry about money anymore. Because you can't serve God and mammon, right? You won't worry. Period. Because Jesus said, why are you anxious? You know me. You have a Father in heaven. About what you eat and what you drink and what you will dress in. Anxiety will not be there in your life. These are visible signs that you are really seeking with all your heart and all your mind. The psalmist constantly speaks of seeking. Not just seeking, but being satisfied that he finds when he seeks God. Psalm 63, for instance. These are just samplings. When I gathered all the texts that I could put together, it was getting into maybe a 10-day sermon. Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. See, my whole being is just aggravated with and stimulated by this longing for you, O God. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So, verse 2, I have looked upon you. See, I'm not only earnestly seeking you, but I am looking at you. I'm staring at you, God. In the sanctuary, beholding what? Your power and glory. How much have you stared at God's power? For how long? Even recently, someone told me, I looked at this person and she was glowing with love for Jesus. I was told this just a couple of days ago. Has anyone told you, I enjoy meeting you because your face shines with love for Jesus? I know you know God. Just try it. Keep looking at the glory of God. Drink in His power. Stare at Him. Say, God, I want to look. Yeah. And He'll stamp your face, your heart, with His glow. Why do you need fair and lovely? Huh? Now they changed it to glow and lovely or something like that. No? Glow with God. Verse 5 of Psalm 63. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. One of the things with Margaret Nunes used to be, those of us who know Margaret Nunes, Sunday evening fellowship, we used to sing Isaiah 55. Right? My soul will be filled with fatness, fatness. And she was, you know, appropriately made to sing that song. And she would just laugh it out. We'll be filled with fatness, fatness. Wonderful. And God is saying, come take all the charbi from me. The rich food. Until my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. Turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verse 2 says, my soul longs. Sometimes we have someone fainting in church. But this fainting of the psalmist is fainting for the courts of the Lord. See, I am fainting. I just collapse in God's courts. I love it. Not with weakness, but with longing to be in the presence of God. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Psalm 107, verse 9. For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry He fills with good things. Got it? Psalm 107, verse 9. And He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry He fills with good things. Who quoted this verse? Remember Mary in the Magnificat in Luke chapter 1, verse 53? God seeks for, you know who? God seeks for those who seek Him. You know who God wants close to Him? The seeking ones. Not the ones who are so busy you're busy, go. Fine, yeah, you're busy. Be happy. Bye-bye. But if you're really seeking me, God says, I'm looking for you. Psalm 14, verse 2. Verse 1 talks about the fool says in his heart, there is no God, right? But Psalm 14, verse 2, the Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. So again and again, I'm not taunting you. But I know I'm speaking to people who say, I don't have time. So you don't have time. You're busy, you have to go to work, right? You have to do your cooking. You have to meet your family, extended family. I have to. God says, well, you're so busy. Fine. Live your life and be. You're not satisfied in your Christian life. Just take a moment, okay, and be honest with yourself. Are you really fully satisfied with Jesus? Really? Isaiah 55, this is the verse I was referring to. Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 2. Come, everyone who thirsts. Come, Isaiah 55, verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you know what? It's going to cost you nothing. And he who has no money, come and buy for free. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? You're part of that rat race, aren't you? You need to get that 2 lakhs a month because you have to pay that 1 lakh monthly fee or whatever, or the EMI, and you have to have that kind of job. You have to. I mean, who can argue with your have to's, no? You have to. So maybe even God is saying, okay, you have to go. But you cannot serve me, says God, and all your have to things. It's just not possible. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Right? You have to. Okay. Fine. Wives. Have to. Singles, single mothers, widows, olders, elders. We all have to. We have to do this. We have to have guests. Have to. I mean, if the choice is between guests and Jesus, who will you choose? Guests, of course. We have to, no? Otherwise they'll be hurt, no? I have to meet all my relatives. I have to. Eat what is good. Delight yourself in the right rich food. Isaiah 55. Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well? Similarly, he invites all believers to be overflowing from their innermost being, overflowing in the life of the Spirit. You might nod and say, I know what he said on the woman. Well, most of us know everything. The issue is, it's still not really there. So let's look at what Jesus said to the woman at the well. John chapter 4, verse 14. You know what he said? John chapter 4, verse 14. But whoever drinks of the water I will give him will never be thirsty again. What did he say to the woman? If you drink. Have you actually drunk from the water Jesus gives? Are you still drinking the water Jesus gives? Or you think, once I got born again, I drank enough. The water that I will give him, if you really drink of the water I give him, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. If you've really drunk of the water Jesus gives you, it has become a well in you. Do you have a well of living water in you that never dries up? I'm asking some literal spiritual questions of literal spiritual realities. Has it really happened? Do you have a well of living water that never dries up? That sustains you in the trials of life? Then turn to John chapter 7 and see what happens. John chapter 7. It was the great feast day. And in verse 37 onwards, John 7:37, Jesus says this: on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he yelled out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Don't just come. Keep drinking. Not till you're satisfied. Never get satisfied. Keep drinking. Are you getting it? Don't stop and say, "I had enough. Now I have to go on my way. I have to have this activity, that employment, that event, that visit." Then he says in verse 38, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart," Isaiah 55, "as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow" what? "Rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Has Jesus been glorified? Absolutely. Has the Holy Spirit been given? Yes. Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? And with the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Don't make it an academic yes. See, that's the problem with us non-charismatics. It's all academic, doctrinal. It's there in the Bible, and we can quote verse after verse. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Are you bubbling with the Holy Spirit? Are you under his unction, his anointing? Use all those words. No one has a monopoly on those. I care to hoots what words you use. I'm concerned about, have you appropriated it and are living by the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And has the Holy Spirit become a well of living waters flowing out to others? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. We used to scream out, right? Where? Down in my heart. It's only a chorus. to smile about. Is it a reality? I had a dad who tried everything to make me feel I was bad, okay? No good. Even about my Christianity, he would try to destroy my faith. Didn't make a difference. You know why? I have Jesus, and He's enough. I can live in the most miserable situation. My well is full. Are you getting it? Every day with Jesus is what? Only the chorus, right? Sweeter than the day before. Is it really? Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face and the things of the earth. I have to. I have to. I don't need it. David sang this as part of his exhortation when the ark of God was brought into the tent that he had pitched for worship of God. What did he sing? Turn to the first book of Chronicles. Chapter 16 and verse 11. Seek the Lord. Chapter 16, verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. And because he did it, he exhorted his son Solomon to set his heart and mind to seek the Lord. And this is what Solomon was told by David, his dad, that the purpose for building a house of worship like DCC has, we got this house of worship, right? Is only so that we seek the Lord. In many parts of India, when I go to churches, I am thrilled that even at 6 in the morning, if I'm living in the vicinity of the local church building, there are saints who come and are kneeling alone in the sanctuary with their Bibles. And I think, what a lovely day it'll be when this place, we have people coming every day before going to work or whatever, sitting alone with God. Seeking God in the sanctuary. We need to take some of these things literally. Get out of your place, your routine. Seek the Lord physically. Get out of your routine. And make that, and if that is not done, cancel everything else. Buy a shredder, a spiritual shredder, and shred your job even. What is more important, to have a job or to have God? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Am I being extreme? I don't think so. Why don't you have time to seek the Lord? When did he say that to Solomon about the house of God? The first book of Chronicles in chapter 22, verse 19. The first part of Chronicles, chapter 22, verse 19. Now set means fix, with no distraction, your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God. Arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, so that the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God may be brought into a house built for the name of the Lord. In that same book, chapter 28, verse 9. I hope you're looking at those verses. Chapter 28, verse 9. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father. Know the God of your father. And serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. It's not a willing heart and a whole mind. It is make up your mind. Make up your mind, willing mind. And a complete heart. Don't have a place in your heart for anything else. And make a decision in your mind. Think through it. Seek the Lord. For the Lord searches. Why? The Lord searches and knows whether your heart is fully His and your mind is really made up. See, in testimonies and in talking with each other, we can be absolutely PhDs in spiritual bluffology. The Lord searches all hearts and further understands every plan and thought. And you can manipulate in your testimony and about your jobs and about all your events and all your relatives and all your engagements and all your parties and all your dinners and lunches and birthdays and weddings and travel plans. Go ahead, but God knows everything. You get it? And he knows whether you're really wholehearted and fully made up in your mind. If you seek him, after saying that, God says, if you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Just as God, in Romans chapter 1 verse 18 onwards, three times it says, God gave them over, those unrepentant sinners on whom the wrath of God exists, God gives up on believers who are bluffing about knowing him. And you can live an incomplete discipleship. And it is acceptable in most churches, even here, because everyone is like water finding its own level, right? You scratch my back, I scratch your back, let's not get anyone upset. How is it with you? We will do part 3. Next Lord's Day, but bow with me in prayer. And in the silence of your hearts, I'm going to give you a long pause now. Make up your mind. What you have to throw away into that shredding machine. and shred out of your life those things that you have to. And say, I don't have to. There's only one thing I have to. And that one thing is seek God and find Him. Everything else, however important it is, junk out of your life. Will you do that right now? Between you and God. Bow in prayer and seek to do it. God is looking for you to have a whole heart and a willing mind to seek Him. You who search and know our hearts, Lord, transform our wills. Help us to be dead serious about seeking You with all our minds. Give us a single heart, Lord. That we might seek You and find You and be satisfied in You. We pray for Your glory and our good. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of God's Holy Spirit rest and abide with each of you. Amen.